This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 Joycast. In this Joycast, you'll hear a summary of the weekly program. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited to make this Joycast possible. For more information about the music played during the show, please visit the blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Fool and the Opera. It's Dan Vo here with you. I am the fool part of The Fool and the Opera, as you, I'm sure, well know by now. And the quote for today, the fool quote, I like to dig it out every now and then, is, "Only a fool tests the depth of water with both feet." And that's very apt, I think. And it's kind of weird in my instance where I can't even swim, so it's going to be a terrible, terrible result, whatever happens. Now, today on the show, we've got camp classics, a gym junkie, and a boy band, which sounds quite interesting, I suppose. On today's show, I boldly walk into the arena of Popera. Yes, we are going to go there today. And I'm sure that, well, in my mind, whenever I do things on the show and do things that are a little bit risque, I suppose, I always imagine that there's a monocled gentleman sitting in his living room with a log fire, and he's got his pipe and a monogrammed robe, and then every time that I say something or do something that is out of the normal operatic box, he kind of gets insulted and goes, "Oh, I say, that's terrible." So today we're definitely going to go there. We're going to talk about Popera, and joining me on the show, of course, is going to be the suavely suited Josh Pitterman from the Dici Tet, because I figure that 10 people singing in a group together must be a Dici Tet. It's from the 10 Tenors, of course. Josh Pitterman's from the 10 Tenors. So we'll talk about all manner of things with Josh, from AFL to emos, from music theatre to opera. And of course, I couldn't resist. Thanks very much, by the way, to Bill, Vito and Penelope from behind the scenes for another lovely show, and also for the little tribute to Michael Jackson. I'm going to jump on the Michael Jackson tribute bandwagon. We've been playing a lot of non-stop Michael Jackson, which is lovely. it's slightly driving me crazy, but that's okay. I'm going to be playing a bit of a Michael track as well. He was a very influential man, and especially during the revival period for me, in the early 2000s, I think, 2000, 2001, where it all came back, and, you know, wearing that hat. I can't remember what the hat's called. I know a brown one is called a pork pie. A black one is called, we're thinking, a Homburg? I'm not quite sure. But the hat that he wears, it's slightly tilted to the side, the single glove, the white socks and black shoes, you know, very influential. And, you know, late teens, learned how to moonwalk as well, which was very exciting. And we've got our front desk person as well, Jerry, out on the front desk. I'm going to teach him how to moonwalk by the end of the show. I reckon that's going to be the goal for today. Now, you can send your texts and SMSs in if you'd like. Now, SMS 0427 Joy 949. If you want to interact, if you want to get in touch, 0427 Joy 949. There's also the phone, 96992949. You can talk to Jerry if you'd like to give him some moonwalking tips, perhaps. There's also onair@joy.org.au for the email. And of course, we've got the Facebook, the Twitter, and we've also got the blog. So there's all manner of way to get in touch. Just check it all out, joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. Now, as I said, I am going to play a track that is written by Michael Jackson. It doesn't actually feature Michael Jackson singing, which I'm sure... for some people, considering the amount of Michael Jackson has been playing from radio stations across the world, might be a little bit of a relief. I'm going to be controversial and say that, yes. But this one's written by Michael Jackson. It was back in the, early 90s, late 80s. It's We Are the World, and it's sung by Pavarotti and Friends, and it features heaps of people. It was for the Children of Guatemala and Kosovo fundraiser that he had ages ago. So this is We Are the World. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
My slender helping hand. We are the world.
You're on Joy 94.9. It is The Fool and the Opera. And that was our little tribute to Michael Jackson, of course, one of the most influential singers of our time. And, of course, one of the most influential dancers as well. The moonwalk, of course, being the very, very influential dance. And that'll actually get mentioned again on the show today, which is actually quite amazing. We did a pre-record with our lovely guest for today, Josh Pitterman. And the moonwalk has a special significance for him. And so I'll play that for you a little bit later. But in that particular track, that was played for one of the Luciano Pavarotti charity concerts. He used to do a series of concerts almost every year, and he had a lot of famous star guests come along and perform for, and raising a lot of money for a lot of children charities from all around the world. And that particular one was for the Children of Guatemala, I think, and it was in the mid-90s. Of course, if you have a good ear and you can pick different voices and that sort of thing, you probably would have picked B.B. King, Boyzone, Gloria Estefan, Joe Cocker, Lionel Richie, Pavarotti, of course. He sneaks in a few couple of top notes in there. Mariah Carey, she sneaks in a couple of extra high top notes, Mariah Carey, the voice where only sometimes dogs can hear. And that was, our little tribute on The Fool and the Opera to Michael Jackson. He revolutionized fashion as well, I suppose. Jerry's just sent in an email which says that it was during the Off the Wall album where the new look, the sleeker look that we're all so familiar with and knew at the time was introduced, the tuxedo jackets, the peg pants, the black shoes and the stark white socks, and the iconoclast style was beginning to take shape. So that's the one that we most recognize him with. And it's, you add black loafers and the fedora hat. That's the black hat, the fedora hat, and you're ready to impress anybody with your moonwalk. And Jerry is going to impress us all with his moonwalk by the end of the show as well. So we're going to teach him how to moonwalk. I'm going to try and remember. Now, We Are the World, by the way, was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie, produced by Quincy Jones, and that it had featured the original version back in 1985, had a supergroup of about 45 musicians at the time, and it was billed as the United Support of Artists, the USA, for Africa, and it was to raise funds for a lot of the suffering that was happening in Africa at the time. So quite a beautiful piece of music, and I think a nice way to start the show, don't you think? Now, on the show today, we do have some wonderful music. It's nice to kind of go back into the normal format, I suppose. We've had two very exciting Radiothon episodes in the last 2 weeks, and I've got to say thank you again to everybody who joined up during Radiothon. It has been the biggest show of support that I've seen in my years here at the station. I've been here for about 5 years, and this Radiothon has been the biggest that we've seen in the entire station's history. So it has been wonderful, and of course, the calls into the program itself and the feedback that I've been getting has been really heartening and really heartwarming. So thank you so much for listening, for starters. And then thank you so much for becoming a member. We've had some people give donations to the show as well, which is fantastic. So thank you so much. I've got a very quick announcement to make, I suppose, and it is to say that The Fool and the Opera, we've only been around for 2 seasons, and we've actually been given a very special grant from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. And with the grant, it means that we can actually take the show around the country a little bit, fly around the country and cover a lot more operas than we could on our own. And so with the support of the grant, it means that we can cover a lot more boutique productions and also make sure that we continue to provide coverage to our local performers and also our gay and lesbian performers as well. So thank you so much to the Community Broadcasting Foundation as well for getting behind the show as well. So if you want to support the program, of course, 9699-2949 is the number to call. And if you join up before the end of July, in fact July 20, there's still the chance to go into the major prize and also the specialist prizes. So there's still a great reason why you should join the station and support this particular program as well. So for everyone who has, thank you again so much. It means a lot to me. Now, I'm going to play a track now because, when you talk about a gay lesbian radio station, you need to play occasionally Over the Rainbow. So this week, I've got Over the Rainbow as sung by the Ten Tenors. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
The rainbow way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. And as I was saying earlier, I had an interview with Josh Pinnaman from the Ten Tenors, you know, sort of like as part of my ongoing quest to find the most attractive men in opera. No, that's not true. Josh Pinnaman is one of the one-tenth of the Ten Tenors, and he's a lovely guy. And he caught up with us during the week before he jumped on a plane to go to Sydney. And then to Queensland, and then to all over Australia. They're about to go on the national tour. The track that you heard before, of course, was Over the Rainbow, as sung by the Ten Tenors on their Nostalgica album, which is the same title as the tour. So I'm going to play you the interview highlights with Josh Pinnaman. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. As one-tenth of the popera sensation, the Ten Tenors, Josh Pinnaman is a young man with a big career. He's sung in all manner of theatres, concert halls the world over, with one of the highlights being his rendition of the national anthem at last year's Melbourne Cup, of course because he's a big sports fanatic. Now he's here today to talk about the Australian leg of the Ten Tenors Nostalgica Tour. Thanks for joining me, Josh.
G'day, g'day.
I love the fact that you guys come up with words as well. Nostalgica.
Nostalgica. It is a good word, isn't it?
It is.
It's one of those ones that most people can't actually say. We've had a few instances around the world, Germany, even here, where people have called it can't get it. Just, yeah, Mel and Koshy, they battled first time on Sunrise, definitely.
Did they?
Yeah, all sorts of people have battled with Nostalgica, but I think it's kind of a cool word. It sums up the word nostalgic and nostalgia in one word.
I'm kind of glad that I beat Mel and Koshy then.
I know, you did really well there, Dan.
Now, of course, you mentioned Germany. In Germany, you've got a huge following.
Yeah.
Possibly because of the Eurovision connection back in 2002, I think it was?
Yeah, 2002. Yeah, we're fortunate enough, back prior to when I was in the group, I was about two in 2002. Yeah, because I'm nine now. No, I was still in high school in 2002, though. Yeah, the group were fortunate enough to book a gig doing the kind of opening and closing components of Eurovision. And on the back of that, the thing just skyrocketed. That was really the catalyst to what is now our biggest market by far, Germany. We tour there pretty much every year. The market's huge. We sell most of our albums there. Loved, adored, wonderful fans, loyal and beautiful and giving. And it's just a great place. It's like a second home.
And when you talk about the crowd, I mean, who is the audience? Like, do you have middle-aged women? Do you have young girls? Or do you have, you know,
yeah, it really
guys?
Does differ at in different parts of the world. Germany, let's take Germany, for instance. It is kind of 25 to 65-year-old women who, yeah, I kind of feel like our branding appeals to that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
10 guys,
and, yeah. Yeah, 10 guys of different shapes and sizes, yeah. Different passions and different vocal styles as well. So it is a really versatile group, and we get to cover a very eclectic kind of bunch of music as a result of that. So it really does appeal to all sorts of different women in that age bracket. So that's really cool. But yeah, you take us to New Zealand or somewhere like that, and it's dead set 50s and over. And South Africa is different again, and America is different again. So it really does differ from country to country. But Germany being our you know, one of our strongest markets, I think the 25 to 65-year-old female component is kind of what we do best.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a bit of a gay following as well? Like, is that a strong thing, or is it just...
I'm sad to say I don't think we do. I don't think we have a strong enough gay following. I would have thought that, you know, 10 really smunky guys covering all components of a gay man's wants or needs would... Like, I thought we'd go off in the gay community, but it just... I don't think it does as much. So... Having said that, Australia's gay population, Melbourne specifically, get out there to the Ten Tenors concert and give us a wave, for God's sakes. Occasionally there are, you know, there's some gay people who come to the show, but it's really too rare. And I think what we do is so camp from time to time. Like, with our special surprise, we always do a special surprise as a part of our show. You know, you'll get the arias and the kind of really classical stuff and your Danny Boys and your Besame Muchos and then the 80s medley. Like, where did that come from? But that's camp as all hell. Like,
Who's some of the people in the 80s medley?
Well, some of the bands. Yeah. We do Take On Me by A-ha.
Oh, lovely.
We do Jitterbug, Wham, who aren't gay at all, are they? Final Countdown, Funky Town. So there's all sorts of, you know, relatively camp tunes in there. So, yeah. Come along. Enjoy us. We'll enjoy it.
I mean, you mentioned that there's, you know, each 10 guys has a different passion. Do you kind of get labeled as, I suppose, the sporty spice type when you...
I think I'm the sports fanatic. I'm the gym junkie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely get labeled as the gym junkie.
Yep. Do you each have a different, you know...
I guess I'm also the choreographer and I stage the show and choreograph the show. So with my dance background at university, studying musical theatre. So yeah, that's also a label. So I'm double labeled, the gym junkie who also choreographs, and you know, there's the guy who's the beer drinker, and then the guy who actually almost got drafted to the AFL. So he is more. I would give him the jock label,
right?
And then there's the emo and the this and the that. So we all do have labels. There's a few guys who are married, so they all get the same tag, the Taken tag. So yeah, everyone's got their label. I think you've got to have that in a boy band.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, actually, because do you get a lot of people who, I mean, is it a misconception or is it true that there's a lot of people, when they think of popera or opera, do they are there people who stick up their noses at you and go, you know, you're not really singing?
Hell yeah. And I think what we always say to them is, if you want to see opera, go to the opera. That's it. It's as simple as that. If you want to see La Boheme, La Traviata, Madame Butterfly, go and see all those beautiful, beautiful operas. They're wonderful, but that's that, and we're something else. If you want to see a very, very eclectic brand of music, lots and lots of different styles, which includes some operatic arias and some Neapolitan classics and some beautiful pop pieces, so to speak, or some versions of songs done in a more operatic style, plus the camp bonus, come and see us. Because we really do a bit of everything. I think that's the joy and the greatest thing about the group is its, you know, supreme versatility. Mm. I don't know any other group in the world that even attempts some of the stuff that we attempt. You know, something like Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, people see it as one of the greatest songs of all time. It is harmonically one of the most difficult songs of all time, and so many people won't approach it because they go, nah, just don't want to touch it. It's too difficult. It really is. But if it's difficult, we say, hell yeah, we're going to give it a crack. And we're going to rehearse it to the death until it's absolutely brilliant.
Mm. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. I hope you enjoyed that. That was a bit of an exciting version of the Bohemian Rhapsody done by the 10 Tenors on their Tenology album. That's a live version, of course, from their shows. And, of course, you'd hope that they'd pull that out again. It's such a good little track. And, of course, Adam has texted in and said that Opera Bohemian... Dan, I love you. Thanks very much for your feedback, Adam. It's, yeah, I know that Adam has played a version of the Bohemian Rhapsody on his show, Flip the Tape, which you can catch on Fridays at 2. And, of course, it was done by I think it was the Flaming Lips. Was that right? You can let me know, Adam. But it's really interesting to see different versions of Bohemian Rhapsody and see how people interpret it. And in that particular case, sneaking in that bit with Mamma Mia, it was just... I laughed out loud. It was so good. And it's quite amazing. We had Jerry say that, you know, Mamma Mia itself is quite a complex track and it just fits so perfectly. And I think it's right there. And of course, just to give you an update on how we're going with the moonwalk, we've got him sliding the feet back. He's lifting his feet slightly. Just need to change the timing a bit. And I think if we keep on working on maybe on the where the core of his body, you know, where all the core strength comes from, we might be able to get him to moonwalk. So we're getting there. Got half an hour left. Now, of course, you can send in your texts and emails as well, 0427JOY949 or phone 96992949 if you want to talk to Moonwalk and Jerry. And there's also the email onair@joy.org.au. I'm going to continue with the interview with Josh Pinneman. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You've come from a music theatre background and you graduated in 2006 from the University of Ballarat. So that's where you kind of got your skill to choreograph and to sing as well, I
imagine. Yeah, definitely. But in that, I always had a very, very big passion for singing and kind of the quest for the endless quest, so to speak, for the perfect sound. or the most ideal sound or whatever it is, I'm always trying to muck around with different type of vocal sounds, be it classical, be it pop or whatever. But I went through a big stage, and I'm still going through it. I think I'll always go through it, of, you know, trying to get that perfect classical sound. And so I've done a lot of classical singing. I did a lot of classical singing outside of uni and post uni, because I was just so passionate about it, because that is the kind of, you know, the pinnacle of the human voice. How operatic or, you know, wonderfully technical can you make it? So I have always really been into that, and I'm still very into that. Right. So in doing a musical theatre degree, I feel like I kind of covered a lot of components of a classical singing degree on the side, even though when I look back on it, I will never have a certificate that says I studied a classical course. But yeah, I feel like I went through some of the ins and outs of it, definitely.
I mean, you sang in Madame Butterfly with the Melbourne Opera Company.
Yeah, that was something I did straight out of uni. They were really kind enough to go, yeah, you can sing, mate. Here's a little role. So when you travel with us, and come and do this role. And it was a very much a bit part. All of four words. No, three words, four notes.
Right.
That I came on for literally 5 minutes as the registrar in the marriage and sang, and many sons. And that was it. And I was off. And I got my money and see you later. So I mean, that was one of the best gigs of all time. So if you ever want a nothing part for some cash, go and do the register in Madame Butterfly.
But bit parts are so difficult in that you've got to spend so much time putting all that makeup on, all that costume on, and then you do it, and then you leave, and that's it.
And then you go, you know, listen to your favorite band in your iPod, or read a book, or go and smash down some grog, or whatever you want to do, yeah, and come back on for the bow.
So you're one of the people who actually enjoy the bit part then, as opposed to many people.
Oh, look, I do enjoy the lead more than the bit part, I must say. Yeah, I think bit parts, you know, it's wonderful an opportunity as it was, because, you know, straight out of uni, just to walk straight into a company and for them to be so kind and giving, you know, straight up to a kid, really, you can drive yourself into insanity with a bit part, potentially, because you just have so much time to do nothing, nish.
Yeah.
So, bring on the lead.
Well, when you talk about the lead, I mean, the age has described you as being powerful and a show stealer. How did the other boys in the group think about this?
Well, that wasn't actually as a part of the 10 tenors.
Oh, okay.
So, they when they look at things like that, they say, you were show stealing back then. But when you sing with us, well, Joshua, it's a different kettle of fish.
How much time have you spent with the group? Like, how did you get into the group?
I got into the group really luckily. At uni, I was, as I said, really into the kind of classical music. So I'm listening to groups like Il Divo and like the 10 Tenors and Amici and other kind of pop opera groups. I thought I'd create my own. And so me and another guy at uni and another guy at uni, Graham Foote and Edward Howard, we got together and started rehearsing up kind of Il Divo-esque repertoire and wanted to make it really, really serious. And it was for a very, very brief period of time when we realized it's much, much, much more exciting and entertaining to take the piss out of this material. So we wrote little cabarets that went on at the Butterfly Club in Melbourne, which is, you know, really housing the best cabaret in Melbourne at the moment. It's a really great establishment. Yeah, we put on a couple of shows and they were lots and lots of fun, but I kind of wanted to get a little bit more serious, and so did Graham. And so we kind of formed another group with some other kind of music theatre guys who were quite well established, Matthew Robinson and Chris Parker. And we formed another group and we called that one Forte. And we did some corporate gigs and all sorts of stuff. And in trying to find music, I just got on the 10 Tenors website and there was something that said, if you think you've got what it takes to be a part of the 10 Tenors, contact us. And I said, okay, is this someone telling me what to do here? Yeah, I'll do that. So I just sent them through an email and a you know, a sample of some stuff. And they just wrote back within the day saying, hell yeah, let's get this thing going.
That's amazing.
And fortunately enough, Graham Foote, who was on the same path as me with all this stuff, we went to high school together, uni together, formed Divino together, did Forte together, also now sing in the 10 Tenors together. And he is actually the musical director of the group as well. So I've had this wonderful journey with myself in this kind of industry, but also it's been really beautiful to take a really close friend throughout the whole journey with me. And now we work, you know, very, very closely in the creative side of the 10 Tenors as well as the performing side.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that is one of the most sensational tracks I've heard in a long time. I'm a big Bond fanatic. I love Bond. It's just something about blowing up things and a guy in a suit that just really appeals to me. And that is You Only Live Twice. I can't remember which movie it's from, actually, now, but I've been doing my... I know that there's a few Bond connections with opera, and if you watched Quantum of Solace, which... Unfortunately, for being a Bond fanatic, I actually haven't seen that movie yet, but I know that there is a scene in Quantum of Solace where they actually, a bunch of bad guys meet up, and of course, they meet up in no other place but the opera. So, there is a scene with Tosca where you hear the Te Deum from Tosca being sung with the great ending of Act 1, the finale with Scarpia, and it's just, it's quite beautiful. It's an open-air stage, and the stage itself is floating on, I don't know if it's a river or a lake or something, but it's floating on water, and there's this huge eye, which is very Bond-esque. So, if you watch that film, I'm going to go out and watch it at some point soon, I'll rent it or something, and you can see that little bit of Bond, which is wonderful. So, Now, You Only Live Twice, I've been told by Kirsten, who's coming up on Bent Notes, is from the movie of the same name. So, that's nice and easy to remember. Thank you, Kirsten. And I've also had a text in from Adam saying that, indeed, the version of Bohemian Rhapsody he played was from The Flaming Lips, and he laughs at the word bit parts. Now, the other connection for Bond is, if you remember Timothy Dalton, when he was a good old Bond, his wife at the time was, of course, an opera singer. Oksana Grigorieva was her name, a Russian opera singer. Ukrainian, I thought. But anyway, so an opera singer. And I think she's dating Mel Gibson at the moment, released a track called Say My Name, and the feedback has been quite interesting. One person has said that it proves that love must be, because he funded, of course, the production of the single, Mel Gibson did. This one reviewer has said that it proves that love must be truly blind as well as deaf. That's quite harsh. Now, I'm going to continue with the interview with Josh Pinnaman. What an interesting guy. Now, I'm going to talk about, of course, with him about his big break. And the reason why we've been talking so much about The Moonwalk, of course, is The Moonwalk was his first big break. And I've got some instructions from Jerry, who we're teaching the moonwalk, and he's got some excellent instructions on how to moonwalk. If you don't know how to moonwalk, I'm going to post them up on the blog, so you can check it out, joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera, and you too can learn how to moonwalk. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
I wanted to talk very quickly about your first big break, because I read that it's your first big break was being caught moonwalking at 11.
Yeah, I don't know where you found that. That's a good... You did some research there. Yeah, I was... I was not into musicals at all,
yeah,
or singing or anything remotely creative. I was a future physiotherapist, potentially. That's what I wanted to get into. Very, very into sport and the body and, you know, helping people recover from injuries or, you know, it was basically someone who really, really wanted to be an AFL footballer but wasn't good enough, or a tennis player but not good enough. How can I be in sport and do something I'm passionate about, which is health and fitness? So physiotherapy was totally down my path. My dad's a doctor, and that was what I was going to do. So I had all the endeavor and the desire to do that until I started getting into Michael Jackson and watching him do the moonwalk. I'm like, there's something I want to do more than physiotherapy, and that's the moonwalk. So I just practiced all the time and then got caught doing it in the cafeteria at school once. I went to Wesley College, and the director there, Dawson Han, who's a great guy and has been there for, you know, upwards of 20 years and is still directing the shows. He's brilliant. He goes, hey, mate, you should audition for our musical. I'm like, musical? Ooh. Bloody musicals, whatever. And anyway, I got up the courage to do it, and they were doing Fame, and so they needed a black guy, because there were no black guys at Wesley College. So me being Jewish, I guess, I don't know, we're both in minorities. So they go, well, hey, you could do it. So I had a little sing, and like, I kind of like singing, so it worked well. Like, it kind of just happened for me. It wasn't particularly good, but, you know, the notes came out and stuff. And, yeah, I could moonwalk. So, yeah, that's the way it happened. And then from doing that, I just, yeah, fell in love. It was like, you know, love at first song type thing. And ended up doing Jesus Christ Superstar in Year 12. And that was about midway through year 12. And from then I just knew there's only one place I'm going to go, and that's to the Ballarat Arts Academy to do music theatre. And there's only one profession I want to be in, and that's entertainment.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
We've got to talk a little bit about football because you mentioned AFL. And
love it.
I understand that you're a big fanatic or fan of the Bulldogs.
Well, I am a huge Western Bulldogs fan. Just absolutely nuts for them. When I'm away, I think I quote myself and saying, I get withdrawal. I seriously do get withdrawal. Like, I'm on AFL.com all the time. Like, I'll just look at stats. Just look at stats. Like, how many kicks did Lindsay Gilbey have this week? No one cares. I care. I deeply, deeply care about Lindsay Gilbey's stats. I listened to it on the radio. I made sure we got satellite television when we were touring America so that I could watch it on via satellite. I'm just obsessed. Like, the first thing I did when I got back off tour was buy the new Bulldogs white clash strip, I think that's what they call it, for their away games or games where they clash with another jersey.
Right.
So I think it's cool, and you know, I've got to have all the merchandise. And when I can go to a game, I'm there in a second and will potentially cry if I can't get there.
So is there something perhaps that you want to get the boys to sing on stage one day, maybe? Maybe the Bulldogs football club theme song?
The problem is there's too many AFL supporters in the group these days, so you'd want to have to sing the Hawthorne one, the Brizzy one, the Geelong one, the North Melbourne one, it's the Carlton one. It's just, you couldn't do it because they wouldn't be singing it with any heart or passion. And in the end, that's what a football theme song is all about. It's not about the vocal ability, because 100,000 people normally sound pretty awful singing it, but heart on the sleeve, just passion, that's what it's all about. And yeah, I think 100,000 terrible singers at the MCG would sing it much better than the 10 tenors for that very reason.
I think that's a beautiful way to summarise music in general, I think.
Well said, Dan. Well said.
Well, I look forward to seeing all that heart and passion in your performance coming up in the tour. You're hitting Melbourne in
July the 8th at the Hamer Hall.
At Hamer Hall, yes.
Yeah, which is a great venue. Like, we're really stoked we can do the Hamer Hall. We're doing really, really great venues throughout Oz. So, Hamer Hall on the 8th of July. And then there's shows in Sydney, Adelaide, Hobart, Canberra, Cairns, Mackay, the Gold Coast, and Brisbane.
I know, so you've got your luggage packed with your 10 Tenors branding, and you've got your suit as well. Apparently, there's brand new suits in this new production as well. So
yeah, there are brand new suits in the new production. They are going to look schmick.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thank you very, very much.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. And that was the interview with Josh Pitterman. Quite a lovely guy who was really good to chat with. My little thrill from the whole interview was the bit in the end. And I didn't have this recorded, unfortunately. But the bit where he said that I was the best interviewer he's ever had. Ah, self-indulgent radio. I love it. And the bit, of course, where, you know, I'm better than Mel and Koshy. Which, when I was telling somebody, they were kind of like, is that actually a compliment? Now, I promised Josh that I would play Sons of the Sea. Now, if you don't know what Sons of the Sea is, it's an old sea shanty little track. And I've been trying to find all weekend a nice version of Sons of the Sea, a sea shanty version sung by an opera singer, of course. And I've just failed. And why we want to play Sons of the Sea, of course, is Sons of the Sea is the song upon which Sons of the West, or Sons of Scray, I think is the other version of saying it, the Western Bulldogs club anthem. That's the anthem. It's based on, you know, because all the old footy songs are based on old songs. For example, the Geelong Football Club is based on Carmen. I think the Torridale song is what it is. You know, we are Geelong. I think I've sung that on the show before. I don't know. I just had deja vu. Anyway, Sons of the Sea. I've been looking for a version. I haven't quite found one, but I have found an alternative version of Sons of the Seas, and this one's an old Australian sea shanty folk song, sung by Peter Dawson, who was one of our best baritone bass baritones, and he's quite popular. You know, I think in the mid 80s he was recognised as one of the top singers on disc, I believe vinyl, of all time. So, you know, he's up there alongside Elvis Presley and Enrico Caruso. So that's quite a special honour for an Australian. And he was one of the great English baritones of the Victorian era as well. So This is Sons of the Sea. It's not exactly the version that you hear being sung from football or the MCG, but it is a version of it, and it's quite a beautiful version. It's from the Australia's Ambassador of Song album by Peter Dawson. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
You're the blue of the verge where the low sky meets with the sea.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. That was Sons of the Sea by Peter Dawson, or sung by Peter Dawson, on the Australia's Ambassador of Song album. A little gift there to Josh Peterman, and that's our attempt at performing a song, well, not performing a song, but picking out a song that has relevance to the Western Bulldogs. Sons of the Sea, of course, being the basis upon which Sons of the West was written. I've had a few SMSs in. JB, who was helping me look for an operatic version of Sons of the West, or Sons of the Sea, whatever, was helping me look, and yes, I did decide on that one, JB, and it does sound good. And I've also got another SMS in, and actually, this one's a bit of a challenge, because an anonymous person has texted in saying, now, speaking of opera in movies, any idea what opera is featured in the movie Hannibal? He or she has been dying to find out. I've done a quick Google, and Vide Cor Meum is the song that was performed in the outdoor opera in Florence that Inspector Patsy and Dr. Hannibal Lecter go to see in Hannibal. I will do some more research on it and see if I can find a version to play on the show coming up in the future. But speaking of coming up, Bent Notes is coming up right now, so definitely stick around for an evening of wonderful jazz. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will give you an update next week on how Jerry's going with the moonwalk. He's kind of doing it all right, but I don't know, that sea song, he's kind of got sea legs at the same time, so he's got a bit of work to do. I will send up, also post up on the blog, the instructions on how to moonwalk. So, The Fool and the Opera. joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera is where you can find the blog and etc. etc. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week. Same Fledermaus time, same Fledermaus channel.
Thanks for listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert. Thanks to the support of Joy sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.